Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. The Technology Ready School Administrator, Standard-Based Performance, 3rd Edition by Clinton Bourne, is an excellent resource for school leaders and teachers in developing and advanced countries as well who desire to improve their school's performance in technology-related tasks. Dr. Clinton Bourne is an educational practitioner with a distinguished career in public schools, where he served as superintendent of schools, principal, assistant principal, guidance counselor, and teacher. He also served as a professor in the graduate education program at Franciscan University in Steubenville. Now, in preparation for his lifelong love of education, Dr. Bourne has a bachelor's degree in comprehensive social studies education from The Ohio State University, a master's degree in counseling and school administration from Xavier University, and a doctoral degree in school leadership from Ohio University. And Dr. Clinton Bourne, author of The Technology Ready School Administrator, Standard-Based Performance, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Bourne, a pleasure. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to our discussion, Rick.
I am really excited about this topic. This is really something that impacts so much of us, you know, our families, people who are teachers in our families, what they're going through, the constant daily evolution of technology, and be fascinating to find out from your perspective where we are and how that's implemented in the school system. First of all, what inspired you to write this book? Where did you get the idea you needed to put this in the book, The Technology Ready School Administrator?
So I wrote the book, the first edition, because there was only one other book on the market like it at the time. I had just begun teaching graduate education courses, and one was called Computers for School Administrators. And I was looking for a practical book for the class. The other text on the market just wasn't tied tightly to authentic administrative practice. I had a friend look over my notes, and he suggested that I write a book. As they say, now history. The second and third edition were written because the International Society of Technology and Education Standards for Educational Leaders changed, and that's the backdrop for the book. The book explains the implementation of these standards, hence the need for the revisions. If a listener wants to become a technology-ready school administrator, check out the book.
It's such an impressive background you have. You look at this from several different perspectives, from the classroom as well as someone in an administrative position, a unique perspective you bring to this book, The Technology Ready School Administrator, Standard-Based Performance. This is the third edition. You'll find this at litprime.com, Amazon, usual places. I will give you a website for Dr. Clinton Bourne as we go through our conversation today. Doctor, what technology changes have you seen in pre-kindergarten through 12 schools from your first edition of the text in 2007 to the current book now in 2024?
Well, first of all, Rick, there's been tons of change.
Oh, yes.
As you can expect, as technology is evolving constantly. The biggest change over the years have been the students' and teachers' technology knowledge and skills. The first book from 2007, much was written about using productivity skills, if you can imagine, Microsoft Office, Word, PowerPoint, and that's some of the areas that I taught. In the second book from 2013, the thrust was developing Web 2.0 artifacts for technology integration in the classroom. One of the interesting cartoons in that second book was a student receiving instruction from a teacher seen on a computer screen. Little did I know that this educational practice would become commonplace after the world's pandemic. This third edition, with its international scope, describes the future technology landscape in DK through 12 schools around the world, with attention to the use of artificial intelligence to deliver personalized education. Common themes over the years remain technology planning, equity and inclusion, regarding technology access and usage, technology literacy for teachers and students, professional development. So those are some of the common themes, but those others are new to the 2020 text.
We can actually do a program on most of those topics you mentioned, and we'll come back to artificial intelligence here in a few minutes, and things may change in a few minutes, so we'll get an updated version of what's going on with the artificial intelligence. What do you say is the future of PK through 12 schooling, let's say in the next 10 years? What do you see as the future? What's it look like for you?
Well, you know, I think that the bottom line is we're going to start to see more personalized learning. The days where students sit in classes with groups of students and their needs vary from reading levels to practical technology skills and a variety of other areas. So the use of artificial intelligence to bring that into the specifics for that child, I believe strongly, will be our future. And I hope it is our future, because I think it has tremendous opportunities to advance students on their level and take them to another level that they need.
Sounds very encouraging. Our guest on the program is Dr. Clinton Bourne. The book is The Technology Ready School Administrator, Standard-Based Performance. His website is drclintonbourne.edu/blogs.org. All that on the website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available wherever books are sold. What experiences have you had with technology and continuous improvement planning that were key to writing the related chapters in this edition of the book?
Sure. As a superintendent, I led the school district in developing and executing both technology plans, as discussed in Chapter 2, and school improvement plans, as mentioned in Chapter 5. Those experiences were instrumental in writing the step-by-step processes to lead both types of planning initiatives. There were other topics also that I have experience with. As the superintendent, I directed an inclusive environment for staff and students, and we hired teachers who are proficient in technology, which is mentioned in Chapter 1. I have modeled digital citizenship throughout my career and wrote two courses for PK through 12 students on digital citizenship. I also orchestrated professional development for the district, which was addressed in Chapter 3. As a superintendent, the district purchased many technology resources, including infrastructure, hardware, and software. I also encouraged partnerships with internal and external stakeholders and led numerous advisory committees. Chapter 4 covers these topics. I also stay current on the cusp of emerging technologies. Before computers in schools were popular, I thought this trend had tremendous educational potential. And I was a superintendent in the late 1990s when they were just becoming very popular. And so I encouraged our staff and provided the resources for our students to lead a technology initiative. And we encouraged technology integration in our classrooms. So those are the significant areas.
Boy, I'm sort of at the forefront of technology and being able to adapt and to use that in the classroom today. Our guest is Dr. Clinton Bourne. This book, The Technology Ready School Administrator, Standard-Based Performance, available, again, wherever books are sold, a link on our website and a link to Dr. Bourne's blog as well. Which ones of those emerging technology trends listed in the book do you feel will have the greatest impact on the future of PK through 12 education?
Well, first of all, Rick, we mentioned five emerging trends in the book. The first is mobile learning. Mobile learning has been, I think, routinized, quite frankly, but many of the individuals that I researched thought that it was still an emerging trend. Game-based learning is another trend with some potential. Personalized learning, we already mentioned, coupled with artificial intelligence. Of course, extended learning with augmented and virtual reality, and also micro learning or nano learning are all important trends. Previously, we talked about artificial intelligence as being the future of K through 12 education, and I strongly believe that will be the case. I hope it is. Those solutions will provide personalized learning for every student. And with our ability to have every student having their own laptop, their own tablet makes it very, very practical to be able to implement prior to artificial intelligence and the tools. It wasn't necessarily realistic, but now I believe it will be. And as it starts to grow more and more, will become the future. I want to caution us, though, that artificial intelligence is only as good as the teachers who are working to provide that artificial intelligence information into the system. And so, therefore, we're not going to get away from teachers. We're not going to get away from a good instruction. It's just that with those capabilities of artificial intelligence, I believe that it will make the system, make the personalized learning easier to manage.
So many moving parts, and they're all addressed so well by our guest on the program, Dr. Clinton Bourne, the Technology Ready School Administrator, Standard-Based Performance. Mentioned the role of teachers. How do you see the future of teacher training and professional development? How does that look to you?
Well, what's interesting is back to artificial intelligence. So with the ability to have built in there mastery lessons, mastery skills, the artificial intelligence has the ability to help in the instruction of the teachers in their learning the craft. As far as online professional learning networks, what the key to this is the use of blogs, internet, social media to learn from experts and giving individuals the opportunity to learn what they need to learn. In the old days, back when I was a teacher, we would go to professional development and we might already know the topic, but it didn't matter. We were required to be there and we'd listen to the person drone on for hours and hours. With the ability for the person to look up specifically what they want and to have their own professional learning network, that's the key to where we're going, I believe.
Dr. Clinton Bourne is our guest on the program talking about technology in the future. What's the biggest threat you see to the staff and student data privacy? With all of this comes privacy concerns. We read all of this and it sounds great, and then it's like, ooh, there's a downside, something we need to be aware of. How do we balance that? What do you see as the biggest threats?
Cybersecurity for school systems is definitely a continuous, ongoing issue that needs attention, and we need to adapt to those threats and vulnerabilities. Districts remain susceptible to cybersecurity threats, and the number of cybersecurity attacks in U.S. schools reached a record high in 2020. Specific district actions to reduce the security threats would be to install antivirus software, enforce acceptable use policies, and aggressively investigate perceived attacks through your infrastructure and your technology, your technicians doing those kinds of things. The biggest threat remains, though, with students and staff misbehaviors and poor routines when browsing the internet and reading email. Habitual human shortcomings cause password-related issues. Students share their passwords with others. They repeat the same password over and over again, or they elect weak passwords. So following proper guidelines and having the technology-ready school administrator understand those kinds of things will help data privacy, reduce the data privacy threats.
I said moving parts before. There are a number, aren't they? I'm going, following you, and it's like, okay, here's the good. There really isn't a bad that I've heard. It's just cautions, just the red flags that are there. It's really a balancing act, isn't it?
You know, another thing that I think we should probably mention is parental oversight. It's very important that parents be watching where their students are going and what they're doing on their devices.
Boy, so many words of advice.
There are many parental controls that are available as well.
Our guest on the program, Dr. Clinton Bourne. His website is drclintonbourne.eduBlogs.org. We've got that on our website. The book is Technology Ready School Administrator. You touched on something, and I want to go back to this for a second. What did your research show in relationship to students' access to home internet and technology devices? You mentioned students before having devices. How do we get around the possible inequity of internet service and access to computers?
You know, this continues to be, and it's been a thread throughout the three different editions. In developing countries, access to home internet and technology devices remain a huge challenge. Those countries, the children just do not have home internet access. They don't have technology devices because they're too costly for many families. So regarding home internet, I found it very interesting that in low-income countries such as Guinea, 33% of the children had home access to internet. In Haiti, 7%. Libya, 4.2%. On the other hand, of course, the percentage of homes with internet in advanced countries, Japan, 100%. Norway, 99%. U.S., 98%. U.K., 97%. And what we do in the book is we give you a resource so you can look up your particular country if you're coming from some other country other than those that are mentioned. With regarding technology device ownership by children, it mirrors the home internet connectivity with fewer children in developing countries owning smartphones, tablets, or laptops. 29%, only 29% of Ecuadorian children between the ages of 5 and 15 and 30% of children aged 8 to 18 from India own smartphones, whereas 99% of children in Germany aged 12 to 19 own a smartphone, 80% of them own tablets, 73% own laptops, and 95% of the children in the United States aged 3 through 18 own a smartphone, 62% in the United States own tablets, and 79% own tablets or desktops. What was interesting, Rick, is researching this information was extremely difficult, primarily because many countries do not collect this kind of data. And one of the things I encourage is for researchers to start examining children's utilization and ownership, because it really sheds light on the equity and inequities. Definite global initiatives can close the technology equity gap in PK through 12 education. Governments can become powerful agents to bring the digital divide by ensuring affordable technologies, high net internet connectivity costs, technology device prices, electricity tariffs, and taxes become major contributors to the digital divide for both teachers and students in developing countries.
What did you find, the research find, regarding students' technology skills in today's world? I can see situations where maybe students are teaching teachers some of the technology. How is that developing? Because there's like no limit, and these kids grew up with this, so they're not afraid of anything from a technological standpoint.
What's really funny, Rick, is you have what the common thought is, that the students have all these digital skills. What's interesting, and my research bear this out, here are some of the things that kids love to do and what kids do, in fact, do. Watch videos, listen to music, communicate online with their friends and family, visit social media sites, and play digital games. One researcher described children's digital activity as based on friendship or their interest. And one of the things that we want to advance is their ability to participate with technology. And with participation, we're talking about advancing their technical skills, their competencies, their knowledge to create quality videos, quality podcasts, word processing documents, spreadsheets, online presentations, websites, blogs, video games, avatars, and file shares. Very few scholars lean into students' technology participation. I did discover two articles that did this. One article was for 17 to 18-year-old children in Bosnia, and 61% of those children could edit and change photographs. 53% of them could record video, but only 4% could build a website, and 9% could create a game. Another piece that was very interesting is this was for 19 European Union countries, and Schmahel and his associates in 2020 found these were self-reported digital skills relating to their operational ability, their navigation, their social creativity, and their mobile abilities. And what was discovered is that 43% of students self-reported editing online content, 66% reported creating and posting a video online, whether that video was educational or personal, wasn't reported. One last article that was extremely interesting was relative to the United States, and that was done by a gentleman by the name of Watkins in 2018. He studied Black, Latino, and low-income youth access, internet, digital skills, device ownership, technology participation. And what he found was that Black, Latino, and low-income teens, like most U.S. teens, played video games, watched videos, listened to music, etc. However, they did it not with home internet, but mobile-only internet. And Watkins coined an expression called digital edge. And in that, he discovered that Black, Latino, and low-income youth use smartphones more frequently than white and Asian counterparts. He also found that Black, Latino, and low-income teens consume social media more than white or affluent equals. Black and Latino and low-income teens, like most teens from other races, build social communities, peer relations, and cultural identities through social media sites. And however, with regard to technology participation, mobile-only internet creates a challenge. They can maybe only create video shorts for TikTok, Snapchat, or Instagram. He lamented that many school personnel, unfortunately, downplay and discourage Black and Latino teen smartphone technology participation. And if there are any researchers out there, please dig into the smartphone practices among low-income youth, because it would be interesting to see if this mirrors other countries. I taught a number of students from Nigeria, and these were graduate students, and what I found so interesting is they had very little skill with laptops. However, they did have skill with their smartphones, and so it kind of bears out what I think we have learned.
It's just fascinating, the research and the knowledge that's there and how this knowledge is used. The book is The Technology Ready School Administrator. Our guest is the author, Dr. Clinton Bourne. What advice do you have for future current pre-kindergarten through 12 school administrators and teachers regarding technology initiatives? What do you say to them?
Well, I think we have to really look very deeply toward the potential of artificial intelligence, because it offers exciting opportunities and challenges for the Technology Ready School Administrators leadership. However, if they are competent and they dig deep and understand how these can be accomplished, I think that would be very, very worthwhile for them. They should continuously reflect and act on those technology vehicles to advance their school staff and students. They should document their personal growth by maintaining electronic portfolios and instituting a personal learning network, we'll talk about before. And they should constantly look for, advocate, and encourage meaningful digital resources for their schools.
I'm going to squeeze one question here. I love the perspective you have in the classroom as an administrator, as a superintendent out at the forefront, and having the wisdom, the foresight to see where this is going and what the school needed to procure. Let's talk about, very briefly, resource procurement. How important is it to have the funding for all that's necessary to be competitive in this world?
And once again, this is what is holding back low-income countries.
Yes.
And their students, because they do not have the resources to procure the robust infrastructure, which is vital, as well as the devices, the internet access. So within procurement, I think you have to take a very methodical examination of your current inventory. What do you have in stock? What do you want to accomplish? When I was a superintendent, we wanted to accomplish having the teachers present material using the technology. Of course, that's probably passé now because those devices are in schools. However, you need to really pay attention to exactly what you need. Many schools have one-to-one initiatives. Those are good things. However, back to the procurement, the elementary student doesn't need the same powerful device that a high school student needs. So you need to examine what the needs are of the faculty and what the needs are of the students, and then make appropriate decisions based on those needs.
What a fascinating conversation. The time has gone by too quickly. Let me mention two other books written by Dr. Bourne, Making Sense of School Finance, A Practical State-by-State Approach, and Reducing School Expenses, containing insurance cost, funding capital, and tackling the challenges. We could do a program on each of those fascinating topics, and those books are still available. The new book is The Technology-Ready School Administrator, Standard-Based Performance. This is the third edition by Dr. Clinton Bourne. His website is drclintonbourne.edublogs.org, and the doctor is DR. And we've got this on our website. Book available on litprime.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Dr. Bourne, it's been a pleasure. Fascinating conversation. You're at the forefront of all of this. I wish we had more time. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you so much.
Can I mention one more thing, Rick?
Sure, of course.
So on my YouTube channel, I'm going to be releasing about one video, a video short, about once a week that I'm going to be talking about a topic within the book. And would love to have people give me what's going on in their schools, in their situation. So I'd like to get a dialogue going on the YouTube video and or with my blog. And so we're going to be releasing one a week for the next 20 weeks. So I'd love to have individuals participate in that dialogue and that conversation.
And we have some links for some of the social media applications on our website in the description for Dr. Bourne. If you're Googling him, you'll find Dr. Clinton Bourne or Clinton Bourne. Podomatic has some podcasts that Dr. Bourne has done. Again, YouTube, a very important part of the video releases that he has out there, and taking something that's vital to all of us and breaking it down in a very understandable form. Doctor, thank you again so much for being with us on the program. Look forward to doing this again. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. It was a very delightful conversation.
Thank you. Really enjoyed this. Went by too quickly. The Technology Ready School Administrator, Standard-Based Performance, Dr. Clinton Bourne, our guest on the program. And again, his information, drclintonbourne.edublogs.org. Books available wherever books are sold. And you'll find out all of that and more on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.